Make sure you're on slide 6 of the African Art Interactive Slide Notes. So on slide 6, we're taking our first look at the Ndot portrait figure of King Mishe-Mishang Mambul. And we're going to be taking notes on slide 6. So let's take a look at a sculpture that expresses the prestige of a king. The Ndot statues might be the most revered of all Kuba art forms. And the king figure that you're looking at here is highly polished wood that would have been produced by artists of the most important and powerful tribe within the Kuba people. So think of it this way. If a powerful tribe is making an object, that power will be associated with that object. And so, as we've seen in some of these African ceremonies, if someone is wearing a mask and dancing in a ceremony, it should be someone that is well regarded or respected. And so it's kind of the same idea that you want rituals and objects made by people who are respected and important. So Ndot actually literally means statue. And Ndot statues are a type of figurative wood sculpture that portrays important Kuba leaders and their idealized portraits. So remember, idealized is basically an idea that a culture has about what is perfect, what is ideal. And that's what we see here. Ndot figures were believed to represent and honor the spirit of the king and then serve as a point of contact with his spirit. Remember, African art is intended to be active and interactive. So it's not just something that captures an identity. It's a way to reconnect with this king. Go ahead and move to slide 7. On slide 7, we're going to take a close look at the Ndot details and make sure as you guys take notes that you correspond information with the questions and annotations I have here. Go ahead and focus your attention on annotation A. The Ndot is considered the one that you're looking at, the oldest in existence. And we know this because of the symbolism. The symbol we see here is on the front of the drum, and it's a severed hand. This would have been this king's symbol. Other Ndot figures all have a symbol on the front of the drum, and it indicates which king it is. Go ahead and look at B. All Ndot figures sit the same way. The ruler sits cross-legged on a raised platform, and then he has a drum in front of him. Let's take a look at C, and we're going to take a close look at the facial expression here. So the facial expression on all Ndot figures, remember they all show a king, express both aloofness and composure. Part D, you're looking at his left hand. All Ndot figures have the same object in their left hand, and that is a ceremonial knife. And if you're taking a look at it, you might not notice that it is a knife, but there's a significance that you can't see the blade. You're seeing basically the handle of the blade, and that's supposed to be a message about being non-aggressive, like having power, but not choosing it to use it in this moment. Go ahead and look at E. You have 5 notes that you're going to add in. We're going to take a look at the royal regalia. So regalia are like things that you wear that indicate something. Think about graduation. If you are a CSF seal bearer, you have a gold cord. If you're an NHS seal bearer, you wear a blue cord. So the regalia is supposed to be like symbolic and part of the visual attributes of what this person is and their identity. And the graduation regalia is supposed to identify like high-achieving students or special awards. In this case, we have some things that indicate royalty. One is the belts. The belts that he wears indicate his royal status. 2, armbands. 3, bracelets. 4, shoulder ornaments. And 5, a special projecting headrest. All 5 of these elements are indicators that he is wearing royal regalia, therefore he is a king. Go ahead and move to slide 8, where you're going to be taking notes on naturalism and valued ideals. So Ndot sculptures have rounded contours, creating forms that define the head, shoulders, and stomach, and also they feature a defined collarbone. So while the relative naturalism may appear to have been informed by an artist's one-to-one observation of the king, Ndot sculptures aren't exact likenesses. They are not actually created from direct observation. So naturalism is essentially a term we use in art history to indicate when something looks like real in life, when it looks like something that naturally occurs. And although we have little details that look like the artist may have observed a person and then used that to create this sculpture, they actually didn't look at the king when they made these likenesses. What they did do, the sculptors of these Nadab figures, is they followed cultural conventions and visual precedents to guide them in making the sculpture. The expression on the face, the position of the body, and the royal regalia were meant to faithfully represent the idea of a king, but not the individual likeness of the king. So once again, we're kind of confronting a situation like we saw with the Emblo portrait mask, that what's important is to represent an ideal, something that is like revered and respected in regards to the person, not their physical likeness, not a copy of their likeness. All Nadab figures are sculpted using a 1-to-3 proportion. So what that means is the head of the statue was intended to be 1/3 of the size of the total statue. Let's make another reference back to the Bale people of the Emblo portrait mask, where some African cultures regard the head as the most important part of the body, and this definitely fits that idea. Kuba artists also emphasize the head, because besides being the most important part of the body, it's considered to be the seat of intelligence, and intelligence is a highly valued ideal. Okay, go ahead and move to slide 9. We're going to be looking at Nkisi Nkondi. So this is a really interesting object, so I can't wait to share this one with you guys. So slide 9, let's talk about divine protection, and you guys are taking notes. So sacred medicines and divine protection are central to the belief of the Congo peoples. And today, in present day, it's Democratic Republic of Congo. The Congo believe that the great god, Nkongo, brought the first sacred medicine down from heaven in an earthenware vessel and set 3 stones upon it. So the term Nkisi is loosely translated as spirit, yet it is represented as a container of sacred substances here. So what you're looking at, this Nkisi Nkondi figure, is a sacred container, and it's activated by supernatural forces that can be summoned into the physical world. So visually, Nkisi can be as simple as like a pottery bowl, or they can be as complex as a human figure like we're looking at here. Sometimes we can also see Nkisi represented as like small bundles, shells, but here we have a carved wooden figure, as I mentioned. Nkisi represent the ability to both contain and also release spiritual forces. And those spiritual forces can have negative or positive effects on a community. Go ahead and move to slide 10, where you're taking notes on Nkisi Nkondi. And that term of our artwork actually translates to spirit hunter. So an example of a Nkisi can be found in a power figure that we're looking at here. A power figure is basically like a magical charm that is carved in the likeness of a human being. And the reason that it's carved in the form of a human, and I think this makes a lot of sense, is because it functions in human affairs. This object looks like a human because it facilitates some practices that you're going to learn about in a second in human affairs. So the human form of this Nkisi can function in a variety of ways. So a Nkisi Nkondi can act as an oath-taking image, which is used to resolve verbal disputes or lawsuits. It can also act as an avenger. And this is where kind of that term Nkondi, which translates to hunter, comes in. And it can also be used as a guardian if sorcery or any form of evil have been committed against people. So these Nkisi wooden figures representing a human would have to be carved under the direction of divine authority and also in consultation with a spiritual specialist who would activate these figures through chants, prayers, and the preparation of sacred substances which were aimed at curing physical, social, or spiritual ailments. So essentially the main takeaway from that last point is you can't just decide to carve a Nkisi Nkondi and use it in human affairs. It would need to be something that spiritual guides would have to activate and allow someone to make. go ahead and go to slide 11, where we're going to talk about insertions. So basically how this object is used, and also obviously all the objects that are stuck into it. So you're going to be taking notes here, and also adding to some of the annotation notes on this slide. So Nkisi Nkondi figures are highly recognizable through an accumulation of what you see here. Pegs, blades, nails, or other sharp objects that are physically inserted into its surface. So if you go ahead and look at the annotation for A, medicinal combinations are stored in the head of the figure, which is why this annotation is aimed there. And then in B, the belly of the figure is typically shielded by a piece of glass, mirror, or other reflective surface. And the point of that mirror or reflection is because it's supposed to represent another world inhabited by the spirits of the dead, and a reflective surface or mirror will allow them to peer through and see potential enemies. So continuing on with the notes, the elements here with a variety of purposes are contained within the medicinal or herbal combinations that are stored in the head. Sometimes seeds are put in that area. That might be if someone has like a wish to replicate something. White soil deposits found near cemeteries also can be used, and that would be something that would enlist support from the spiritual realm. And then claws could also be included, because maybe someone would want the spirits to grasp something. Stones are also used to activate spirits to pelt enemies or protect people from being pelted by stones. The insertions that you see all over the outside of this Nkisi Nkondi are driven into the figure by the spiritual specialist, and they represent the type or degree of severity an issue can be suggested. Sorry, let me state that differently. The insertions represent the type or degree of a severity of an issue. So a peg, which would be like a really small, like wooden object, might just be like a matter that needs to be settled, a disagreement between two people. A nail, deeply inserted, may represent a really serious offense, such as murder. Prior to inserting an object, opposing parties or clients will often lick the blades or nails, in order to seal the function or the purpose through their saliva. So it's kind of like that idea where people like spit on their hands and shake hands to kind of like, well, that's not a pinky promise, but kind of like this idea of like bonding and agreeing to something. That's why licking the nail or blade or the peg would be done. If an oath is broken by one of the parties or evil befalls one of them, then a Nkisi Nkondi will become activated, and the Nkisi Nkondi will carry out its mission of destruction or divine protection. So that's kind of the positive or negative. Like, the negative would be someone breaks an oath, a promise, a rule, and that spirit gets to work. Or if someone needs protection or something positive, the Nkisi Nkondi would connect with the spirit world and also support that. Go ahead and go to slide 12, which is our last slide here. Slide 12 is encounters from outsiders. So Europeans may have encountered these objects during expeditions to the Congo as early as the 15th century. However, several of these objects were called fetish objects, which is a negative connotation. They were confiscated by missionaries and destroyed because they were connected to sorcery or heathenism. Nevertheless, several of these were collected as objects of fascination and sent to Europe and the Western world. And now we can look at these objects to study some of the spiritual practices of Congo people. But because they're in other areas of the world outside of the Congo, it's just another testament to the legacy of colonialism. So Congo traditions, such as the Nkisi Nkondi, which you guys studied today, have survived over the centuries and migrated into other areas of the world. So there's some religious practices, for example, practices in the Americas, the Caribbean, Afro-Atlantic religious practices that have connections to these Nkisi Nkondi. And in Hollywood, these figures have morphed into objects of like superstition. So think about like New Orleans voodoo dolls that you cover with stick pins. Those ideas come from these objects from the Congo. Nonetheless, Nkisi have left an indelible imprint as visually provocative as figures that have spiritual importance and protection to the people of Congo.